Boker Tov world. Today's daf in Masechet Nedarim is daf Lamed Gimel, and we're holding right here in this new perek, which Richie was kind enough to introduce us to last night, and we'll go over it again. I didn't get any sleep. I've been waiting for Alon. He said he's on the way. I got all nervous. Had to call the cops to go on a search for, I don't know what happened. How far is it from where you were staying for Shabbos to my house? What is it, 20 minutes? What's going on?
That's all.
Okay, so we start the new perek today again, and that's on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, and today's daf is Daf Lamed Gimel. So let's start at the Halakha Mishnah. Ein bein hamudar hana'ami chaviro l'mudar himenu ma'achal ela drisat haregel v'kelim she'ein osim behem ochel nefesh. Now, as the Gemara is going to come out, we might as well do a little spoiler over here, because the Mishnah doesn't really make much sense the way that it's written. And the Gemara is going to come out that it's talking about that what the person said was, is that any hana'ah that brings me to eat. So what that would mean is that as long as you're giving him something that makes it easier for him to have food or able to buy food or able to prepare food, we're going to see how far this extends. So for all intents and purposes, it's really touching on a level of Isur Hana'ah, because, I mean, you can think of a lot of ways that a Hana'ah could bring a person to Ma'achal. And therefore, the only differences that would be clear would be that if we're talking about something that is not worth anything, you know, and it's not a type of thing that is used to actually produce food, so then the difference would be like this. If he's Mudar Hana'ah, so then he wouldn't even be allowed to cut through the guy's front yard to get across without going all the way out to the street and back in again. Which, I mean, that's not something that people really care about very much. And we'll see that there would be no savings, obviously, for it. But for some reason, it's still considered to be hana'ah from that person. So if you ask hana'ah, you wouldn't be able to do that. We're going to discuss that in the Gemara. And furthermore, if these are things that cannot be used for cooking, so let's say to lend the guy a wallet or something, I mean, how's he going to cook with a wallet? So that's not going to bring him any closer to eating. But we're going to see that this is only if he's not saving him money. Because if he's saving him money, and it's the type of thing that people would generally rent, so like you're lending him the car, so then you're saving him money. Because that money could be used to buy food. And because of that, you would be bringing him closer to eating. So that's how we're going to explain it in the Gemara. But we'll let the Gemara do that. I just wanted the Mishnah to make sense right at the starting point. So those would be the difference. So if you're a mudar ma'achal, which again, we're going to see doesn't mean food, the other guy's food, means anything that would bring him closer to food, then you're not allowed to lend him things that are used for food preparation. So you couldn't give him things like a nafa and a kivara. So these would be his sifter and a sieve. You wouldn't be able to even give him that, because that, even though that's not used directly to the food that he puts in his mouth right away, but it's a step towards the preparation of what he's going to be putting in his mouth, right? So that's considered to be, that's the chiddush over here. Like this, you would say, okay, a pot that you're going to actually cook the food in. But ad kedei kach, even in nafal chvara, where you're just going to do the sifting, yeah, even that. And you can't lend him a rechayim, a grinder, or a tanur. Now, the tanur in this case, very interestingly, cannot be referring to l'chora, a regular tanur in those times. Remember what a regular tanur was in those times. It was what we use as a pita oven, where you stick the bread onto the side of the tanur, but then that's a pot. We've already talked about things that are like a step before a pot. So it doesn't make sense that we're talking about a tanur that's actually baking directly. So what this is talking about is what we call a tanur, like there's an open thing where you put a pot into which holds the food, and therefore it would also be one step away, you see. So that would make it part of the set of nafa, kvara, rechaim, v'tanur. But you can lend him things such as a chaluk, a tabat, a talit, nizamim. Now we're going to see in the Gemara whether there's like, is there a chiddush about these particular things? I mean, not, would I think that like lending him a coat or lending him a talis or Are those things considered to be different than anything else? Or just you can learn them anything that doesn't have to do with food. And we'll see that in the Gemara. Okay. But now one of the interesting things over here, of course, is that the Mishnah says that if he was not only Osir in Mahal, if he was Osir for all Hana'a, so then what would happen? He would not be allowed to cut through the guy's yard, because that's one of the differences, right? Now, why is that? I mean, it's not worth money. Is it considered to be Hana'a? So that's the question. You'll notice that Gavi has this very interesting smile on his face. He knows all about cutting through people's yards, apparently. Uh-huh. So what would that be? What is that called, cutting through somebody's yard? Well, that's called vitur. I'm not quite sure how to translate that term. I mean, vitur is sort of things that you allow people to get away with. You know, you allow people to get away with. And what would be a concession, maybe? You'll indulge their desire. Maybe that's the best translation. Maybe things that you indulge other people's desires for without asking anything for it. Okay. But anyway, you get the idea. So that's called vitur. So now this is saying that even something which people generally are just mivater, I'll let go of that. You know, you enjoy yourself. I'll let go of it. You're not allowed to take that from somebody if you're asur b'hana'a, and it's still considered to be a personal benefit from him. So if you asured him b'hana'a on yourself, you would not be able to do it. It's clear that that's what the Mishnah is saying, that if there's an isur hana'a, like that's one thing that's definitely a difference. So who is the Tana, asks the Gemara, that holds that? Because that's not the opinion of everyone, as we're going to see. Omer of Ada Bar Ava, that only works out according to Rabbi Eliezer. The Tanya Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Afilu Vitur Asur B'mudar Hana'ana. What Rabbi Eliezer was talking about was a technical thing called Vitur. And that idea is where you're selling something. And generally speaking, just to encourage the sales, you throw in an extra thing, right? So you'll throw in an extra apple. If somebody buys a dozen apples, you'll throw in an extra apple or something like that. That's called vitur. Now, lemaisa, you would not be allowed to even sell unless it's, as we said before, it's on its face. It's ramya ala apet. But even if it is, vitur would be usur. That would be a point that Rabbi Eliezer would be saying. And so same thing would be true about cutting through the other guy's yard. Now, sometimes a little bit of marital therapy is necessary in this afyomi. And when you see two good friends staring away from each other, you know they've had a big fight. So how do we explain...
It's just the camera, Rabbi. It's one of those convex things.
I see. It's not that now you're each playing separate games on your screen, right? Okay. All right. That's good to know, because that's always one of the encouraging things in the Daf Yomi. So, anyways, getting back to this, how do we see that? So, let's get into a little bit more of what's going on over here. Because it says, Hamudu ma'achal mi'chaviro lo yashileno, even nafach vara, but you can lend him things like earrings. I don't get it. Why can't you lend him a pot? You said food. A pot isn't food. Reb Shimon ben Lakish, well, maybe the Mishnah must be talking about where you did something that extended the neder. So you, instead of saying food, what you said was hana'a of your food. So what? How does hana'a from your food mean a pot? I mean, I understand that, like you're saying, hana'a that I would get from something, I'm calling it your food because I was able to get it because you got, I mean, that's a little far-fetched. Isn't the simple meaning your food for me to use in any way, even just to get hana'a from? So let's say I have a sore. So I would need to make a poultice, you know. So what am I going to do? So I'm going to chew some oats of yours, let it get warm, and I'll use it as a poultice. And that would be on the ma'achal, right? I mean, that's what it means to me. It doesn't mean a pot. So I'm a shelo yelo schitim, yitin amakato. I mean, that means not to chew grain and put it on a wound of some kind, and that's a refuah. I don't think the doctor's looking at this with particular approval. But anyway, it used to be good. And you could still buy poultices, oatmeal poultices, right? You would approve of that, right, Doc? Am I right? No, he wouldn't approve of it. Okay. Don't jump to conclusions. All right. So, but anyway, that's what it would have meant at the time. So, Omar Ravina, I'll tell you what it's talking about. We're just talking about where the guy, the way that he phrased it was, anything that would get me closer to eating food, that's like your food, you know? You've helped me. So because you gave me your hot dog maker, now I have hot dogs. So now I'm coming, it's your hot dogs. So because of that, it would in fact usher even giving me a hot dog maker or an oven or a pot, because that brings me closer to food. Well, how far away would this be? Says Rav Papa, look, even a sack, lahavi perot, and even a chamor, lahavi alav perot, or afilu tzana bi'alma, just giving a guy a basket, since he could bring the food with that, that's also called hana'ah mevi alidei ma'achalu. So let me ask you something, says Rav Papa, how far could we go? Let's say he wants to borrow a horse. Now he's going to ride on that horse. And he wants to borrow a ring, and he's going to be wearing that ring. Is that a problem? Why would it be a problem? Ah, you see, because, let me ask you something. If you're driving a Ferrari, and you walk into a wedding hall, how do you think they're going to treat you? Ah, please, sir, come with us. How about some extra chicken, right? Uh-huh. So he figures if he's going to ride in on a Ferrari, I mean, that's not Hanali de Mahal, but perhaps it is. I mean, he's going to be wearing this fancy jewelry. The guy looks like Mr. T, you know? So maybe people are going to treat him differently when he comes in for the food. That's what I want to know. Is that considered to be Hanali maybe de Mahal? Or how about something else? How about cutting through your property to get to the wedding hall more quickly? So suppose I need to cut through and then I get food 5 minutes earlier. Is that maybe Ali de Machal? Or, I mean, since I'm not doing anything to the food, I'm just doing something to me. So maybe that's not considered to be maybe Ali de Machal. What's the din? Well, look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah says you're allowed to lend him a coat, a shirt, talit, rings. I mean, like, what do you think? That it's talking about just to lend it to him for what? For him to crawl into bed with these things? So what's the chiddush? And if he's not going to be visible and he's not going to show off with all of this stuff, we don't need to know that. The whole point of the Mishnah is that if he's lending you things that are going to make you look like a very chush of a person and that are going to therefore get you better food, that even so, you're allowed to, right? Isn't that the whole point? That's the chiddush. El alav, afilu kein le'ra'ot behem. And it says, yes, you can do that. Mashi lo. No. Lo olam shelo le'ra'ot. Maybe the point is there's no chiddush. And the Mishnah just said this in order to keep things sort of balanced. Because since we said don't lend him nafach vora and so on, it comes at the end to say, but you can lend them these things that in no way would be able to get you closer to Achila. We're ready. Sir Richard. Ring, ring.
Sorry about that.
So, to continue now, when we're talking about you're allowed to lend him things that have nothing to do with food, we need to take something else into consideration. I mean, you could say a car doesn't have anything to do with food, at least if it's not a Ferrari. So you can, but it's saving you money, isn't it? And so called avash eino sinobo ochel nefesh, you've got to take into consideration that in a location where that type of thing people wouldn't lend out, they could rent it out. He wants to lend it to you, so he's saving you money. What will you do with that money? Aha! You'll walk into Tony's ice cream shop. But that means that he brought you food, so to speak. And therefore, even that would be usur. Wait, so in other words, you're saying that in the reisha, you can't use things even though they're given out without, because they are something that can be used for food. So who is the Tana that says that? Because, I mean, it's not really a Hana'an. You're saying that it's usur in the event that you are usur on him, even though it would be given to you for free, which is another raya. If you're usur b'hana'ah, it's considered to be hana'ah, even though he's not saving you any money. That, again, is going according to Rebbe Eliezer, Omer of Hanabarava. This is Rebbe Eliezer, who holds that vitur is usur, even though it's something that anybody would just give away plain. So, once again, we see the Mishnah is assuming Rebbe Eliezer.
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea what just happened. I didn't understand anything.
Sorry?
I didn't understand anything here. What the Mishnah said, what the conclusion was, I didn't grasp what we're talking about.
We're adding a new constraint. In the original, in the first part of the Mishnah, what we read was that only something that is used for food preparation. Now we're saying, even if it isn't used for food preparation, which the opening of the Mishnah said is mutter, that's not true if people would normally rent that item to you. Because then they're saving you money by lending it to you. And then with that money, you went to Tony's ice cream. So then it turned out that even giving you something like that was actually giving you hana'at ma'achal. That's a tremendous chiddush, right?
The context is the particular society where I am.
Well, I mean, there are places where it would be sort of absurd for people to take money for your borrowing their toaster, isn't it?
Right, no, I understand. Yeah. I'm saying that the framework here is not from my words, and it's not my terminologies. It's since here, in this particular society, this is something that
you seem to be missing something. There's no way that this could have anything to do with words. The man has already said that you cannot in any way be responsible for his getting to Tony's ice cream, right? Okay, so we said, so you can't lend him a little portable freezer that he could carry around to bring Tony's ice cream to the house in, right? So now the question is, okay, I understand, but could I lend him my toaster? You can't put Tony's ice cream in a toaster, can you? Right? So the Mishnah said, yes, you can lend him a toaster. Not really, because you use toaster for other things. We're talking about where you only ask for Tony's ice cream. So just to keep it for regular people who don't think that the definition of food is Tony's ice cream, you would be allowed to lend him a bathrobe, right? Now, how about if in that location, if you go to your neighbor and you say, could you lend me a bathrobe? The guy gives you a bathrobe and then he says, that will be a quarter, please. Ding. Could he also lend you a bathrobe? No. Because if he didn't take the quarter, you're going to walk over to Tony's and you'll use the quarter that you would have had to use for the bathrobe for you use it for ice cream. That's all it's saying.
Rabbi, is the concept we're talking about fungible?
I suppose, no, because fungibles are just theoretically fungible, but over here it is where he actually is definitely saving you money, because you would have had to pay. Those are the kind of neighbors some of us know about, right? All right. Is that clear, Rabbanea, now?
Yes, it's introducing a new factor of, two people can have the exact same situation, but in this locale where he's saving money, it's us, sir?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's nothing to the netter is the same. Anyway, Richie, you're back on screen, live. Richie, look up the little red light that says on the air. That means it's time. I keep pushing the button.
Zot de hele gemeente.
Hamudar hana'amich evairo. However, very surprisingly, if you are a mudar hana'a, you can pay up his shekel. Whoa. Even though you're obviously saving him money. I mean, that seems to be like, for sure, it's like you're giving him the money in his pocket, isn't it? Not only that, if he owes $100,000 in the bank, you can pay it up for him. How's that possible? Well, we're going to see in the Gemara. Porea et chovo, umachzir lo et avedato. Now, suppose you find something of his. You're allowed to return that something of his, because then you're not giving him anything. You're just giving him something that was already his. So that would be okay. Mokom shenotnim alei sachar. How about in a place where people are supposed to pay you for the work that you did in going after their aveda? And there are certain places where that is necessary, where you're going to lose money and so on. And he says, to the guy that is asur banav from him, he says, I don't want any payment. But the guy would have had to pay him. So this is a big problem, because the person who returned the aveda refuses to accept the money. But he's not allowed to be nene. And he owes him money. So what about then? Tipol hana'a lehegdash. That money has got to be given to hegdash. Now that's a remarkable thing that we're going to be talking about later. Why to hegdash? Why can't you just throw it into the Yam HaMelech, which is generally what we say about that kind of thing, where you have, you know, something that's osur banah to you. So this is tipol hana'a liyam HaMelech. You see from here that when you say konam, you mean it belongs to Hegdash. That, of course, has to do with the whole question of whether yesh me'ila bekonamot and so on, which we'll be talking about later on. Okay, but what you see from here is that chasing away, now this is very important, Akiva, chasing away lions, not lines, lions, L-I-O-N-S, right? So if you, Akiva and I have had some problems with this.
Right, you should have told me that years ago.
I know. Okay. But it's okay. I still have that shirt with lines on it. So. Anyway, so chasing lions away from somebody is not considered to be hana'a. So that's actually what's happening over here. This guy owes money. Okay, now those creditors, those are lions. They're after him. So what's he going to do? He's going to chase away the lions. How do you chase away the lions? Throw them a good steak. In this case, a good steak in a gold mine. And that chases the lions away. So you see from here, it's not considered to be direct hana'a to save someone from the lions. But does everybody hold that? Mantana. So who indeed is the Tana that holds that Avruchi Ari is mutter? Omer Rav Hoshaya Zo Divrei Hanani. This is the famous Ma'amar of Hanan, which we spoke about in Ketuvot, where over there, if somebody, a guy disappears overseas, and a kind neighbor goes over to his wife, and he says, look, you know, I know you must be having trouble. Your husband disappeared. You don't have any money. So, you know, I'd like to pay for your food, and I'll take care of the makolet bill. You know, don't worry about it. So Hanan says in that case that he is not able afterwards to get his money back. He can't tell the husband, well, I paid up. You were supposed to take care of your wife and you didn't. And I paid up the money you were going to give to her. He can't say that. So apparently we view her as being Avruchi Ari, and he chased away the Ari from her husband, and he's unable to recoup that money. So this must be going Aliba de Hanan. Rav Amar, you don't have to say that. I mean, it would be strange that the Stam Mishnah would be going only like Hanan. Maybe the point over here is that it's really Divrei HaKol, and our Mishnah about Mudar Hana'a, maybe it's talking about the kind of loan that was made on the basis of pay me when you can. So pay me when you can. If you recall, we discussed this back in Kesuvos. So pay me when you can. You can't say that if I paid it up, I saved you money, because you didn't really have to pay this loan if you didn't feel like it. So therefore, you'll come to me, you'll say, look, why should I have to pay you back if I was not intending to pay this loan up? In Kesuvos, we tainted that would be usur. because of the fact that it saves him the embarrassment of being someone who doesn't pay back his loan. So over here in the Gemara, we'll say a different approach. So maybe that, says Rava, would work out according to anybody. But wait a minute, what about paying up his shekel? Paying up his shekel, now the gizbar is going to come after him no matter what, right? You mean you can't? So what would be the case paying up his shekel? So as the Rishonim explained, there is an equivalent case by paying up his shekel. And that would be where a person's money, which he had already donated, and it was lost on its way to Hegdash after the shkolim had already been taken the truma from. And the din is we take the truma for all shkolim that are on their way and they're going to be coming. So even though the norm is that people will pay up that shekel just because they feel bad that Hegdash lost it and they want their shekel to be part of it, but technically speaking, they don't have to pay it, and the gizbar will not be after them. So Rav is taking for granted that you understand that the case in our Mishnah might not be avruche ari be'alma. It might be because there's no ari, because the only thing that would be getting you to pay it would be your own emotions. So maybe that's why. What is, however, let's just take a look at Chanan. My Chanan, I mean, you've been assuming that we know what Chanan is. Well, it's not. I mean, you should know what Chanan is because we actually had learned this together in the Mishnah when we were doing service. And Chanan said, "Mishalach minat hayam." So a guy left without appointing someone to take care of his wife. And a neighbor comes, "V'amar echad u'pirnesi tishto." So Hanan says, "Ibedet mo'otav." He cannot ask the husband to pay. Well, he can ask, but he's not going to be able to recover that money in court. So that's called hiniach mo'otav al karen atzvi. You just put it on the horn of a tzvi that runs away very fast when you try to take it off. The Mishnah, remember, said that actually it's a machlokas. The B'nai Kohanim Gedolim, they argued, and they say no. He's allowed to swear how much he paid for his wife, and then the husband has to pay him back. And Omer Rabbi Dosman, working his Kedivrayim, he agreed with the B'nai Kohanim Gedolim. And remember, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he was the one that coined the phrase, which Gavi's going to write down now. And Omer Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Yofa Omer Chanan, actually, Chanan has it right. He niach mo'otav al keren hatzvi. He took that money and he put it right on the horns of a, well, generally translated as deer, which it isn't, but anyway, it runs, and there went your money. So what we were saying is, according to Rav Hoshaya, the Mishnah is dafke like Chanan, and according to Rava, it could work out according to Rabbanan, as long as we're talking about a non-collectible debt in court. So why didn't Rava want to say to Rav Hoshaya? That's sort of obvious. I mean, why would he want the Mishnah to be going only like Chanan? So Rava didn't want to say to Rav Hoshaya, that's a general principle. We always try to have a Mishnah work out according to as many shittas as we can. But Rav Hoshaya, why didn't he want to say like Rava, which would have allowed him to make the Mishnah Divrei Hakol? Because he felt, now remember, in Ksuvis we answered that by saying that he felt that since you're saving him from the busha of not paying the loan, so then that itself is considered to be an Hana'ah. But here the Gemara says that the reason that he didn't want to say, like Rava, is because he held, if we're going to allow a person to pay back an Isser Hana'ah in a case where the loan was not collectible, I mean, people who see that are not going to be able to make that distinction in their mind, right? They know that he paid back so-and-so's loan and it was Isser Hana'ah. So they might come to pay back a loan that was collectible. And therefore, Gezeira Shaloli Para, even a case where the loan was made without a particular payback date, mishum li para, because of the fact that it's confused with a regular loan, and therefore could come, chas v'chalila, somebody could be over on a konam. Now, the other thing that we said is machzir lo et avedato. Ah, now this is interesting, because remember all the cases where we talk about Osir, Isra, and I. It isn't clear who's Osir and who, right? I mean, Isra, and I make myself Osir on you. I make you Osir on me. But here is a very interesting difference. This is really fascinating, right? Because it's very counterintuitive on the surface. So Rabbami and Rabbasi have a machlokas here, because one of them says the only time that you're allowed to return an aveda is where the nichse hamachzir were asurin aval aveda. So in a case where the person is giving the aveda back, that person's hana'a was usher to the Baal Aveda. Then you're allowed to give it back. Dig this. But if the Baal Aveda's property was usher on the person who's returning the Aveda, then you can't give the Aveda back. That's crazy, right? Totally counterintuitive. I mean, understand, I'm giving him the hana'a. How is he giving me the hana'a? Ah, because you didn't take into consideration a very important issue. If the nichse bala aveda, the reason you can return it if your hana is usher on him is because you're not giving him anything. Because you're returning him, midam denafshe, come out of it. You're giving him back his own thing. But how about in a case where the bala aveda's property is usher on the machzir aveda, then you get into another issue. Lokam ahadalai, you cannot give it back to him because of yet another job for Gavi, because of Pruta de Rav Yosef. I have a feeling that you already had written this one down, but we'll take it again just in case. So what is the Pruta de Rav Yosef? Remember that the Pruta of Rav Yosef is a fascinating din that changes the situation of someone who is being machzir, is taking care of an aveda for someone, from a shomer chinam to a shomer sachar. He's being paid for returning, or being paid for keeping. How is he being paid? Ah, I'll tell you how he's being paid. Okay. Suppose somebody offered you mishulachim insurance, meaning that all you have to do is pay $10 a month and the insurance will cover all mishulachim that come to your door and want tzedakah. Now that is a heck of a deal, right? Fantastic. Okay, now the thing is, when you're taking care of somebody's aveda, so then a osek b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah, and this provides you mishulachim insurance. Now that saves you $10 a month on mishulachim insurance. That's considered to be a shomer sachar. So if that's the case, if you are not supposed to be getting hana'a from this guy, you can't give him back his aveda. Because then you're getting free mishulachim insurance. Amazing. So because of Pruta de Rav Yosef, this whole counterintuitive thing is that dafka in this case it would be usher. Whereas chad amar, nah, afilu nichse bal aveda asur ma'machzir, he could still give it back. Because Pruta de Rav Yosef is not something that is so shkiach, and therefore, probably, because it's not such good insurance, you see. Because, I mean, if it were a really good insurance policy, that would be one thing. But over here, you're only going to be putter from the mishulachim when you're actually, he rings the doorbell at the same moment that you're taking care of the oven. What are the chances? I mean, you're really going to pay for an insurance policy that only kicks in at like very rare moments like that? I doubt it. So, mele to be considered to be a shomer sachar. Okay, I mean, there's some ultimate hana'a over the course of the whole thing, but to say that I shouldn't be allowed because it's considered to be hana'a, I think that's overdoing it. So, because of that, since Pruta de Rav Yosef is lo shchiach, it would be, in that case, it would be mutter. Well, gentlemen, I think even the big doubters amongst you are starting to get the idea that maybe it wasn't such a bad idea to learn something after the daf, huh? Maybe put that in your pipe and smoke it, Barnea. Huh? What do you think?
I think we should pick up in Shvius this second.
I don't know about this second, but do we have an agreement on that? Would people be willing to go back?
I knew ready to do it. I was always back here.
always knew you were going to do it.
The dark horse. It might have something to do. Something to do with the size of the daf being 1/5 of the size of the other mesechtas. But belief is a good thing.
Maybe we started consistently.
Okay, so Bezrat Hashem. If people are seriously ready, so then, I mean, you can leave. You don't have to stay if you don't want to do it, but, we'll offer it, Bezrat Hashem. Mondays and Thursdays is not the best time to start. All right. Well, so we'll start on Tuesday. Okay. Kol Tov, everyone. Thank you so much. Wonderful to see you, Bezrat Hashem. We should be zeicher today. To see Yoshia Samechu Vorechas Lachalasechor Eim V'Naseim Ad Olam and get rid of all of the Oyvei Hashem and Oyvei Yisrael right fast outside of my front window. God, we have a good view of mushroom clouds even at a distance here.